some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. We've got an awesome show tonight with artist and LGBT activist and anti-bullying expert, Mr. Paul Richmond. He's going to be joining the line in just a couple of moments. But before we get to Paul, I want to let you know where we've been this week and also where we're going for the rest of the week. So in case you've missed any episodes, shame on you. But you can go back and check them out all on demand. You can also download the show on Apple's iTunes as a podcast. Just go look for Rated G Radio. And then we're going to tell you about some sneak preview stuff that's happening tomorrow night. Monday night we had Pet Psychic. She calls herself a pet communicator, but a pet psychic, Amanda DeWarren out of Brisbane, Australia. First time we've had a pet psychic on the show, and I was actually kind of thinking that the phone lines would blow up, but we had enough calls to fill the hour. But I know that whenever I've listened to other pet psychic shows, you know, the phone lines just are crazy. So maybe it was just the first time, but we had a great response with Amanda DeWarren on Monday night. So if you'd like to go back and check that out with Mary Lou Monroe Wright, please do. Tuesday, we had author Marie Blackstock with her brand new book. It was so brand new, we don't even have it in print yet. It'll be out later this month. It's called Speak Your Truth. Last night, we had Zoe Niklaus talking about numerology. And then tomorrow night, on the Friday Night Dance Party, at a special early 6 p.m. start time, we have Scott Roth. I always love drama before a show, okay? So I'm going to tell you a little secret before the show, because Scott's out playing a gig tonight, so he's not listening live. The band that he's on to promote tomorrow night, his band, Western Electric, just broke up like this past week. And it's right as they have their brand new CD out called Death and Obligations. How funny is that? The title of their album is called Death and Obligations. The band just broke up and he's obligated to come on and talk about his brand new CD. But we're going to be playing his album tomorrow night from his now defunct band, Western Electric. And he's got a couple of other songs that we're going to sneak in along the way for some solo projects that he's working on. But that's going to be starting at 6 p.m. tomorrow night. And of course, that's 9 p.m. East. So we're starting the dance party a little earlier than usual. And now, as we, you know, like to say when we're getting ready for our VIP guest superstar, without further ado, it's Mr. Paul Richmond!
Hello, Garrett Miller. How are you?
How are you? I'm doing awesome. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, you bet. You know, and I always do, you know, because guests fill up my show 5 nights a week, and I'm always interested on how, you know, we get connected. And so I need to publicly thank Mr. Paul Emery for connecting the dots here. And Paul's listening in tonight from upstate New York, and I think he's snowed in, probably cooking some meatballs and sauce or something like that. But he made sure to get us connected. And so, Paul, thank you very much, because in my interactions with Paul Richmond, our guest for tonight, I'm telling you, I'm probably counting myself unfortunate that I don't live closer to where he lives, because all I'd want to do is hang out and go into your studio and watch you paint all day and be involved in your project.
Well, you come over anytime.
okay. Well, I'm just going to gas up the jet on the break tonight, and then I'll fly over on that red eye anyway. So thanks for being here, Paul. And so, I've read your bio and stuff, but for everybody who's going to be hearing about you and your name and all the stuff that you're doing for the first time, before we get into all your art and things like that, who are you? And tell me about you, like, growing up, and what was your life like?
Sure. So I live in Ohio, and I was born and raised here. And from as early as I can remember, all I wanted to do was sit at the dining room table and draw. My parents tell me that when I was 2-3 years old, I would get up in the morning and go to the table and crank out about 200 drawings before the end of the day. And then I, would go to bed, and the next day the same thing. And they didn't know what to do with me because neither of my parents are artists. My dad worked for the railroad and my mom worked for a mortgage company. So they were of a very different mindset, very, kind of practical, and, the arts are the opposite of that. And, but I'm very fortunate that they were willing to step outside their comfort zone and sought out a wonderful art teacher for me, a local artist named Linda Regula, who started teaching me art lessons just before my fourth birthday. She had me actually oil painting by the time I was 4.
Get
and
out.
It was just an instant connection that the two of us had, and we've remained friends actually all these years, and we do some projects together even today. But I just, you know, some of my earliest memories are of being in her studio and making art and painting. She was such a wonderful teacher, and it had to be difficult to teach someone that age, but she really tapped into, you know, my love of storytelling. It was never just about, here, paint this bowl of fruit. It was always, you know, tell a story with your art, make it kind of engaging the creative side of my brain. It wasn't just about the technical aspects of art, although that was incorporated too. And so it was always just fun and exciting, and I knew right away that was what I wanted to do with my life. I remember seeing all of her paintings, and it was kind of like walking into Oz, because her paintings were huge and colorful, and that was the world I wanted to live in. So that's where I ended up.
Is Linda supposed to call in tonight? Didn't you have some type of agreement?
I was sort of harassing her earlier.
Yeah.
Trying to get her to. She's an awesome, awesome person, very inspiring story herself. She came from a difficult background and overcame a lot of obstacles and uses her art to share her story, and so I saw that's, you know, what she was doing, and it helped me to realize that art can be a lot more than just a pretty picture that hangs on the wall. It can actually convey, you know, messages or tell a story or communicate something, and I've carried that with me. I've had a lot of teachers and professors and people who've inspired me over the years, but Linda always was, and I'm sure always will be, my favorite, and because she's the one who first put the paintbrush in my hand.
Well, and this begs repeating right now. We've been talking about this on social media all day long. If you would like to call in and either harass Paul, compliment Paul, sing to Paul, or have any other type of conversation with Paul, tonight is the night to do it. The phone lines are open. We're going to leave them open for the next hour while we've got Paul on the line with us. And the hotline, of course, is 323-657-1493. And if you call in and don't press the number 1 on your keypad, I just assume that you're calling in because you want to listen on your phone and you're not at your computer or something like that. Tons of people do that. But if you want to ask a question or, you know, do something fun, you have to actually press that 1 on your keyboard or your keypad. Otherwise, we just won't answer the call. So just know that, but we would love to have you call in. So, okay, I've got about 8 million questions. This may end up being like a 17-part series for you, Paul. But, you know,
I'm totally okay with that.
Okay, well, then I'll just get out my Dayminder and, you know, send you a little, you know, post-it note, and we'll make this happen. But I would love to have you back again. But I'd love to go back and talk for just a little bit about you as a creative. When you were, you know, 4 years old taking oil painting lessons from Linda, or, you know, drawing those 200 pictures a day, that type of thing. You know, your dad was in the railroad, your mom was in the mortgage business. Where did your creative strength come from? Because, you know, did you get it from a grandparent, an aunt and uncle? Is it, you know, some lost relative? Or where is the connection here? Because that seems so
different. You know, I don't know. There are a lot of theories about how, you know, people choose to become artists or have that interest. And there are some family members, some distant relatives and things that were interested in art. And actually, yesterday I was just reflecting on one in particular. My mom's brother, Lawrence, who was killed at 19 in Vietnam, was an artist or wanted to be an artist. And my mom has all these drawings that he did on pizza boxes and scraps of paper. And of course he wasn't fortunate enough to have all the resources, you know, and encouragement that I've had in my life, but she saved those. And my middle name is Lawrence after him. So in a way I sort of feel like I'm doing this for the both of us, but he's certainly, you know, could have been a part of it. And I also just think that for whatever reason that appealed to me as a way of expressing something. And I think that a lot of people feel like you have to be born with a special gift in order to be an artist. I don't necessarily believe that's true. I teach a lot of art classes and I've worked with so many different people, and I think anyone can learn it, but what you have to kind of have on your own is an interest in it and a desire to learn it. And that's not something that you can teach somebody. They either want it or they don't, because it's a lot of work. And, you know, I've been doing this now, obviously, since I was 4 years old. So, and I still feel like I have so much to learn, and it's still exciting and interesting. And I don't think I'll ever know everything there is to know.
Well, I would hope not, because you know, you could just keep doing new stuff all of the, wouldn't you get to a point if you knew it all that you'd just say, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be exciting, but you know, I know a lot of artists who it's easy to fall into that trap because you become known for doing a certain style, or people start to recognize your work, and so you want to kind of keep repeating that so that you know you continue to sell and have commercial success and stuff. But for me, I think because of the way I was taught so early, you know, it was just always about learning and being excited about the process more than anything else, and that's still what is driving me today. And if that stops being fun, then you're right, I probably wouldn't do it anymore.
So when, you know, because you obviously excelled at art, so I think that's very, very cool. But when you were going to school, what were the subjects mm-hmm. or subject that you took that were just like, oh my God, if there's one more class of this, I'm going to take that paintbrush and jam it in my eye. You know, did you have classes like that that just really drove you nuts?
I mean, I was able to do well in school. I was sort of a nerd all throughout my life, but definitely, you know, anything that engaged the other side of the brain, like math classes and science, were certainly not my favorites. I loved, you know, English and anything that where I could kind of connect to it on a creative level. But, you know, school in general was a little bit difficult for me because I was experienced a lot of bullying when I was growing up. A lot of that now I know had to do with the fact that I'm gay, although at that point in time I didn't even really know what that meant. But the other kids in my class, of course, picked up on the fact that there was just something different about me, and so they kind of chose me as the target. And I'm grateful that I had art, you know, as a way to express myself and vent a lot of those feelings, and also just something to be proud of, because I think so many kids who get bullied, and especially now with the internet, at least, you know, when I was a kid, the bullying was over at 2:30, but now it continues, not the 24/7. You know, I had an identity outside of, you know, the names that I was being called or the harassment that was happening at school. So I could kind of retreat into that. And I was working with Linda all through that time, and even started to make paintings that explored those feelings. I remember one in particular, I still have this piece actually, it's called, the painting's called The Piece That Doesn't Fit. And I painted it, when I was about 13, and it's a puzzle. And I painted all the kids in my class kind of as these stick figures in the puzzle, but there's one piece of the puzzle missing, and that's floating down in this sort of black area at the bottom, and I painted a portrait of myself in that piece, and it's actually the piece that I'm floating in doesn't fit in the hole that, you know, is open. And that was one of the first paintings I did that was really about, you know, my own feelings and experiences, and it just made such a difference to be able to put it onto a canvas. You know, it was, a lot of it was stuff that I was ashamed to talk about. I couldn't really tell my parents what was happening. I didn't feel like I could really tell anybody, but being able to paint it, you know, made it so that I wasn't carrying it around inside. And I think that's where so many kids feel trapped.
Growing up, did you either know you were gay, or did you, I mean, you probably, you know, recognized there was probably something different about you, or you felt something
yeah.
different, but did you know what that was called, or why everybody was going to be giving you such a hard time? Outside of the painting, how did you learn to cope with that?
Well, it was, you know, especially challenging because I was raised Catholic and I went to Catholic school. Mm-hmm. So there was that layer too, where, you know, in religion class and even in like health class, we were being taught about, you know, homosexuality as a very, you know, negative, sinful, horrible thing. And so I'm sure that on some level I was recognizing, you know, those patterns in myself, but I was so adamant about not wanting to be that way, you know. I just convinced myself that I wasn't. But if on some level there was an awareness of it, and that was contributing a lot to the shame that I felt, I'm sure. But I think, I really do think that it was because of art, and, you know, just knowing that I wanted to grow up and be an artist and do exciting things made me kind of keep my eye on the future rather than feeling like there was no future. And so many young people are committing suicide because of the bullying that they're experiencing for so many different reasons. It's not just gay kids. It's, you know, you could be the target for any number of reasons. And for me, art was really what gave me hope. And you know, even though my parents at that time would have stated that they were very opposed to homosexuality, I always knew that, you know, I had the support and love of my parents. And so when I was ready to finally come out of the closet, which didn't happen until after college, I was living in an apartment that had a huge mural of Cher on the bedroom wall. You would think I wouldn't have to come out of the closet after that.
Right, right.
But,
did you paint that mural of Cher? Of course.
What's
yeah,
that?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, her face was 6 feet tall.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was rough going there for a while, but I give my parents a lot of credit because they have just come so far and they're so accepting now, and they, you know, love my husband, and it just, you know, it showed me that it's really worth, you know, sticking it out because people who do care about you will come around once they learn.
Well, since we're talking about bullying a little bit, I mean, I know that, you know, you seem mm-hmm. to cope fairly well and had an outlet for expressing, you know, what was going on in the inside of your head. So, you know, you didn't get to the point where you wanted to kill yourself or, you know, do mm-hmm. harm to yourself or do, you know, any of the, you know, terrible things that kids today just seem to resort to.
Right.
What, you know, as a leader in your community, what do you do when you're talking to young kids mm-hmm. to, you know, kind of help give them, you know, like, hey, there is hope, you know, that tomorrow's going to be a better day. You know, don't listen to what these eggheads are saying. You know,
right.
Come paint a picture with me. Or, you know, what's your process that you go through to help give these kids, you know, the same type of encouragement and hope that you had?
Yeah, so about 4 years ago, Linda and I were chatting on Facebook, and we were discussing an article that was talking about the latest teen suicide related to bullying. And I mentioned to her that I really credited her and our art classes when I was a kid as being the reason why I was not one of those statistics myself. And as we were chatting, you know, I said, and she agreed, that wouldn't it be great if there was a way that we could, you know, do this for more kids. And the internet is used for so many negative things, for cyberbullying, but what if that could be a medium for doing something positive too? So we set up this website called the You Will Rise Project, and it's just youwillriseproject.com. And with the premise that we would publish artwork, poetry, videos, any kind of creative works that kids or adults, it can be anyone, wants to make about their experiences with bullying. What we found was a lot of times in schools, kids are really being censored about this topic. And they, you know, for many reasons, a lot of schools don't want to address it because, you know, it's very unclear, the rules and regulations as to how to deal with, you know, not just the victim, but the bully. And so also too, you know, kids are a lot of times afraid to even bring it up because they don't want to have further repercussions from the bully. So we wanted to just give them a space where they could be anonymous if they want, where they could put their name on it, and we would share their work so that, you know, they would begin to understand that they're not the only ones going through this. And so the project really took off. We started to get submissions from kids all around the world, and we still do to this day. We publish a new work every day on the site. And it's kind of grown a lot through social media as well. There's a real community around this project where kids comment on each other's work and they share their experiences. And just like what I was saying to you earlier about art being such a great medium for me for getting those feelings out, it's just such a powerful communication tool for both the artist and the people who are viewing the work. And it's been amazing to witness that through this project. We also then started doing, as you were saying, you know, programs in the community where we get to work one-on-one with kids. We bring groups of kids together from different schools students never have to pay to participate. We always get donations from local businesses so we can buy all the art supplies and everything. And then we just, instead of trying to, you know, tell kids what to do or belabor the issue too much, we try and make it more about, you know, here's some art supplies, just start, you know, pouring paint on a canvas or just start doing something, because nobody wants to just sit around and say, okay, now let's talk about bullying, because that sounds like hell even to me. but they can start making art about it, and then they start to open up and talk, and pretty soon the work becomes really evocative. And we always conclude those workshops with a big exhibition so that the community can come and see the work.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's validating for them, but it's also, I mean, we really do believe that, you know, these kids hold the answers. We don't know how to solve this problem. But what they have to say is important, and people can learn from it. There are a lot of adults who are very much in denial that this is even an issue. So it's eye-opening for people when they see this uncensored, powerful artwork. And we've just had such tremendous response, and we've seen kids just totally turn around their lives, even just within like a 4-week time period, the changes that some of these kids go through. We had a mom tell us that her daughter had tried to kill herself 6 or 7 times before coming to this project. And she said, we've tried everything. We had to, you know, take her out of her school. And we had not been able to get through to her in the way that you guys did just in these 4 weeks. It's like I have a new daughter, and I can't think of anything more rewarding than that. Nobody involved in this project makes any money from it. It's completely a volunteer program, including Linda and myself. But we're just so driven by wanting to help these kids and seeing it work that we keep doing it. It's so powerful.
So, not to kind of get off topic here, because I want to—I think this is important to be talking about. But what the heck has happened to our society where this has become such a prevalent, and I don't want to call it an accepted, but you know, it's kind of accepted that, you know, that bullying goes on, and it's nice as a little soundbite to say, oh well, you know, we shouldn't do this, and we're going to take a stand, and all of this. But what the fuck, you know? Because you know, back when we were kids, you know, you might have got picked on a little bit or whatever, but I don't think it was, you know, as crazy as it is today. Or if it was, boy, I just had my head in the sand. You know,
right. Well, and I think that's what a lot of adults think. They remember their own childhood. But it's you hear the expression a lot, well, kids will be kids and they just need to work this out and toughen up or something. But they don't realize that this is a different situation. And just as an example, I'll share with you one project that we did last year that was specific to one boy's situation. There was a young boy, 11 years old, named Michael Morones. He lived in North Carolina, and I happened to read an article about him online. He was a fan of the TV show My Little Pony, and there's a whole like group of people who love the show, boys and girls, and they call them bronies. And Michael was severely bullied at school because, you know, he was told that boys aren't supposed to like this show. And just on social media, kids were saying awful things. You should kill yourself because of this. And so Michael went home from school one day and went to his room and hung himself from his bunk bed, 11 years old. And his mom found him, but not soon enough, because he was deprived of oxygen long enough that there was serious damage done, and he's still, you know, requiring intense medical treatment even a year later. But I read about this and it broke my heart, because I related to Michael in so many ways. You know, as a kid, I was drawn to so many things that boys weren't supposed to like too. And it just made me heartbroken that, you know, we haven't come any further than that. And if anything, it's gotten worse, because these kids, even after the accident, were continuing to post vicious things online about him, even after they knew what had happened. And, I mean, these are like a little 11-year-old kids, but they can be so cruel. So anyway, we set up this project called Art for Michael, just to give you a little background on it. It was all through You Will Rise. Our main focus is always publishing the anti-bullying artwork, but we also do these little side things relating to the issue as well. And we invited people to share work with us specifically for Michael, and for, you know, really the greater purpose of it was to show other kids like Michael that they're not alone. And we had kids from all around the world, and adults too, that researched the story of Michael and found out what his favorite character from the show was, and they were drawing, you know, the little pink pony named Pinkie Pie. We had hundreds and hundreds of things that came to us, and we published it all on the website. Michael's mom reached out to us and said that she heard about this project and that her whole family was just taking such great comfort in seeing this outpouring of support from people around the world. And so we decided to take it even a step further, and we collected some of the original artwork and hosted a benefit here in town.
Oh my gosh.
To raise money to help pay for Michael's medical expenses. And we ended up flying Michael's mom up to come and see the work. And we have a drag queen on our team, so she put together this awesome show to raise money. And so Michael came, and we presented her with a hardbound book containing all
of
this
artwork. Oh my gosh, Paul.
It was so powerful, and we've remained, you know, really good friends with her to this day, and she's doing a lot of important anti-bullying work herself. So there's a whole movement, but at the same time, I think it's also kind of like a buzzword, and people think, well, they're always hearing about bullying, you know, it must not really be that big of an issue. It's kind of, people tend to look past it, but it's still severe, and it's still happening, and there's still so much that we need to do.
So, okay, here's my question, and I do ask this in all seriousness. There might be a tone of sarcasm in it, but I'm not meaning it that way. You know, you take a legitimate issue like bullying in schools or just bullying in life, you know, and I had somebody on the show on Tuesday night, and she was bullied in her workplace, you know. And,
oh, yeah,
you know,
it
you're
happens
like,
everywhere.
It happens everywhere, and you're like, come on, are you in the third grade? You know, and you think that they just never emotionally get past that, and they want to act like
right.
that. But, you know, are we as a society so desensitized now that, you know, everything becomes such a buzzword, from bullying to red Starbucks cups to the OCD sweater at Target, and we just have to make such a big... So when we have things that really need to have attention, like bullying, we're so, oh my goodness, because of the, you know, Starbucks cup and the OCD sweater and all this other crap that doesn't mean anything, that it's
right.
kind of lost when we get to something that really does need help.
Yeah, well, and I think that, you know, that's why I think that's the power of our project, because, I mean, from the start, we knew we were not going to be stopping bullying by doing this, but it's really about empowering the people who are being affected by it to speak out, and then also really raising awareness, because when you look at the artwork that these kids are making, it immediately takes it from being a buzzword into the realm of reality. You can relate to it in a way that you just couldn't to hear somebody talking about it. But, you know, really, when we started this project, another one of the motivations for it was that we saw a lot of people who were attempting to address this issue. In our opinion, they were doing it in a lot of the wrong ways. There was this organization that was raising money to produce posters to put in schools about bullying, and they both send artwork in for a contest, and they were going to pick one to produce, you know, and they had this government grant to make these posters. And so Linda actually created a painting and submitted it, and it was a really intense painting that was all about the pain that kids go through and the labels that get thrown at them and stuff. And so they rejected it, and they said they thought it was too strong, too intense. They didn't want to offend anybody. And the poster that they ended up producing was a photograph of daffodils, and in a script font on the bottom, it said, "Please don't bully." And, you know, Linda and I saw that, and we were like, that is such bullshit. I mean, what kid
right.
is going to look at this poster and have it resonate with them at all? So, you know, we felt like taking a very uncensored approach and actually you know, turning it around and listening to what they have to say would be very empowering for them, because it just, a lot of it felt kind of condescending and unhelpful.
Well, I think we're halfway through the show. I can't even believe it. It just seems like we just got on the line with Mr. Paul Richmond. He's an LGBT activist and artist. We're going to be talking more to him in just a couple of moments, but we're going to take a quick commercial break here, a brief message from our friends at It Matters Radio and also Rainbow Brew. So everybody stay tight. We've got a couple of callers on the line who are going to surprise Paul Richmond when we return. Okay. So, yeah, stay tuned. Hang on.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, first of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
Hey, wonderful people. They had me on a while back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, deaf, man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Well, why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, laddie, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be...
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
That's a mouthful if I have a hard one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
I love Rainbow Brew. When I first started talking to these folks, you know, they approached me and they said, well, you know, we're this little tiny little coffee company out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And I said, just stop, because nobody's growing coffee beans out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And if you do, they're not going to taste any good because you're in the frozen tundra. And they said, well, just try our coffee. So they sent me some, and it is honestly really, really good. So if you go to rainbowbrew.com and order some coffee, check out their Facebook fan page as well. They'll have some offers. I think they've got like $1 or $2 off of your order right now. Tell them you heard them on the radio, and they will actually do a happy dance right there in their shop. So, Rainbow Brew, thank you for being a sponsor. It Matters Radio. We're going to have Ken and Monica from the show on in a They're going to be on next week. I've got two books to read, but we've been doing a little cross promotion for them. So, if you want to hear some really cool interviews that they do, their show, they do it as a video show. So you actually see everybody interacting and that type of stuff. It's really kind of cool. That's itmattersradio.com live Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Before we get back to Mr. Paul Richmond, LGBT artist and activist, we've got a guest caller on the line from upstate New York, Mr. Paul Emery. Paul, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, Garrett. How are you, dear?
I am thrilled you're staying up this late to call in and not harassing Frank DeCaro.
I know. I'm usually in bed and I listen in the morning. Paul, it's honestly great to hear you. I so admire you. Anybody that could paint Jesus spanking Kirk Cameron, I mean, that's just genius to me. That's how I discovered
you.
But honestly and seriously, at your age, Where did you get your social conscience and your community service spirit? Because you have done so much in so little time. It's just amazing. And honestly, it gives old queens like me hope for your generation. It really does.
Well, thank you so much. I've been very fortunate that I've known such wonderful people in my life who have kind of taken me under their wing, like Linda, and I had wonderful parents, and I've had a lot of great mentors and people who, you know, I think kind of helped inspire me to not just want to, you know, be an artist for myself, but to also try and do some good and help other people. And one of the things that Linda always said to me, and that we always say when we do these workshops with other kids, is that, you know, you come here and you work through your stuff and you create this art and heal. And then your job is to pay that forward and to go out and help other kids. And we've actually seen that happen. We've had kids who participated in our workshops that then turned around and led workshops themselves. And that's an empowering part of it too. And honestly, when I'm doing things in the community and helping other people, it invigorates me and it makes me excited and more passionate about everything. So, you know, it you reap the rewards from it. For sure. It's an important part of my life. And I really do appreciate your kind words and all your encouragements that you are always posting online and everything. It's wonderful to get to finally talk with you.
I know. And the thing is, listen, people, he does so much more. The art is fantastic. The You Will Rise project is fantastic. This guy does high kicks in his DVDs. In drag shows. He goes out, you guys are part of the organized to get the bus to go down to Washington to get married before Ohio had marriage. I mean, you jump on and you put 100% into everything that you do, and it is just so damn inspiring. More people need to know about you and have to hear your story and see how much you do, because it would just take one-tenth of their energy to use like you use yours. Seriously, I'm amazed by you. I'm absolutely amazed by you. And Garrett,
can I hire you
so
as my agent?
Right. We need to get, you know, Mr. Emery here on retainer here.
Seriously.
Garrett knows. It takes a lot to impress me. I don't impress easily. I really don't. And no, it's fantastic, and I hope that more and more people learn about you and everything that you stand for and everything that you do and everything that you put out there, because it is so
worth supporting. Thank you so much.
I have
a lot of energy. I can't sit still. I've got to do something with it, so it might as well be something positive.
Paul, I'm going to ask you a big favor. Can you do me a favor and hang up on me tonight? Because then I'm going to feel like I'm in a part of an elite club if you do that.
Absolutely.
God bless you, my friend. I'll listen to you on the radio tomorrow. Have a great night. And he hung up. He really did. Okay. Paul, there we go. Well, let's talk about he's a character. Oh, my gosh. Can we talk about, because we're going to talk about your painting and stuff, but you'd mentioned, you know, going down and, you know, getting married before it was legal in Ohio. And you have this wonderful husband, Dennis. Tell us about how you guys met and, you know, what's your life like with Dennis now?
I love talking about Dennis. We've been together almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years in January. And before Dennis, my record relationship was 1 month, so I would say we're doing pretty good.
this is a keeper.
He is. But we met online on New Year's Eve. I was trying to scope out where there was a good party. That was the phase I was in at the time. And he was going to be staying at home and hanging out with his dog, and he just wanted to have a meaningful conversation. And, you know, with something clicked. And we actually did not end up meeting that night because I did still want to go out to the party. So we met a few days later for dinner and just hit it off. And we're very different, but we share the same, you know, values and core. You know, at the core, we're very similar. But, you know, he is much more introverted, even though he does a lot of important work himself in the community. He's very articulate. But, you know, where I am kind of like floating out in the ether somewhere. He's very grounded and very thoughtful, and we balance each other out really, really well. And our first year together, we knew that we wanted to get married, and of course it wasn't legal yet. I forced him to propose to me, and he did, so we were just kind of holding out. And then this opportunity, we wanted to wait till it was legal and have a ceremony here with all of our friends, but then this really cool opportunity came along where this Josh and Steve Snyder Hill are these two activists who live here in town, and they were organizing a trip for 25 LGBT couples to take a bus to Washington, D.C. and get married in front of the Supreme Court building. And then we would come back on the bus the same day, and it was the day before our Pride celebration here in Columbus. So then we would kind of be celebrating the wedding all throughout the weekend during Pride. And it just seemed like a wonderful thing to do. It was right before they overturned DOMA, literally
the
week beforehand. So there was a lot of focus on the Supreme Court at that time. And it was really powerful and very meaningful to be there. And we were told that we weren't going to be allowed to be up on the steps, that, you know, they don't want any kind of demonstrations or anything on the steps of the Supreme Court. We had to stay kind of on the sidewalk. But when we got there, and there were all, you know, we had to pull into the building, and we all got dressed in the same room, and then we got rushed over to the Supreme Court, and we were standing there doing our vows. One of the guards came down and told Josh and Steve that they were really moved by what they saw, and they made arrangements so that we could all go up into the building and then, like, two at a time, come out the front door and walk down the steps together, you know, as kind of like our first official moment, you know, together as spouses.
Oh, my goodness. So, you're giving me goosebumps here, Paul.
we had this awesome photo kissing in front of, you know, up on the steps of the Supreme Court in this extra cute, because Dennis is a little shorter than me, so he's a step higher than I am. So we could be, our mouths would line up.
Oh, my goodness. That is so cute. Well, I'm glad you guys are together, and I'm glad that this is you're both keepers for each other. I think that's important, especially when you find somebody that you like. So let's go back and talk about your art here, because I'm staring at your website, paulrichmondstudio.com. By the way, everybody who's listening tonight, on the show page, there's a link right there that says visit Paul's website and purchase his art. Here, you just got to click the link, and it's going to take you right to his site. So please do that. You have this really cool, out of all the websites that I've seen, your picture here with the pink and red and the yellow paint, and then you got that's all over your face, and, you know, your T-shirt that you've got. I went, that is a fun picture. I need to be friends with this guy because he's clearly genius. So how did you decide on this picture to be your signature for your site?
So, it kind of goes along with this new series that I'm doing. Right now, I am working on a collection of paintings for a show. It's March through May at the Evansville Museum of Art, History, and Science in Indiana. And the show is called War Paint. The whole concept being that I am kind of creating these portraits of people, but they're covering themselves with paint, their faces, their bodies, they're smearing different colors onto themselves. And as the series has evolved, I've been working on this concept for over, I think, about a year and a half. It really has kind of come to be very symbolic of that person's sort of emotional state, or their something psychological going on with them through the colors that they've chosen to put on themselves and the way they're applying it, and even just their expression and pose and that type of thing. It's trying to say that, you know, it's almost like a mask, but that's revealing more about them instead of concealing something. And they're very open to interpretation. I don't like to be heavy-handed and tell people how to interpret them, but it's just kind of been a really fun window for me into the whole idea of, you know, creating a portrait. And so I've been forcing these models to, you know, pose for me. I take photo references, so they literally have to, you know, pour paint on themselves or rub it across their faces or something. So I figured it would only be fair for my photo on my website to do the same thing. And some of my friends who had posed for the series were very excited to come and help out with that particular photo shoot.
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I love the pictures. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay. I love the picture that you have here.
Thank you. As you scroll through the site, you see a lot of different kinds of styles and things. The war painting is the most recent, but I also do the series of pinup boys that I call the Cheesecake Boys, and they were inspired by the pinup girls from the 40s and 50s, the ones who were always like having their dresses blow up or their, you know, their panties would fall down while they're walking to the bus station. And I thought it was just so interesting that that was what was considered sexy for women, but you never saw paintings of men like that. The beefcake paintings from that time or the beefcake photos, the men were always much more in control of the situation. So I thought it would just be a really fun twist to do a pinup series kind of featuring men in these scenarios. And it has been really, really fun.
Do you have a favorite out of those
people?
I will tell you, out of the Cheesecake Boys, I can tell you exactly. Well, I mean, I'd have to pick like the top 10 of my favorites, but I know what my favorite is off the top of my head, and it's the Sleigh Ride.
Oh yeah, well that's the newest one. That one just came out, and it was also the cover for a book. My other thing that I do is I work with a publishing company called Dream Spinner Press. I'm their associate art director, and they publish gay fiction. And so I do a lot of book cover illustrations as well, and that happened to be the cover for their upcoming holiday anthology called Sleigh Ride, and it worked out so well as a Cheesecake Boy that I made it into a print too. So I'm just making gay artwork all over the place.
So when you are tasked to do something like that for them, do you ever run into creative roadblocks where you say, you know, I just can't think of anything new to do for this one?
Well, you know, it's interesting because you would think in a genre that's pretty specific. I mean, all of the books that Dream Spinner publishes are about gay men, and I've done over 300 covers at this point.
Wow.
You would think that it might get a bit repetitive, but actually I give the credit to the authors there because they have come up with so many different types of scenarios to keep this interesting. And it does really span so many different subjects. I mean, it's all about, you know, gay men, but some of the stories are fantasy or science fiction. And we even have we started a young adult imprint called Harmony Inc., which is, I really love the work that we're doing there. That's books for LGBT teens, because, you know, a lot of kids who identify as LGBT, Q, A, whatever, don't see themselves being represented in the books that they're reading in the libraries at their school. And Harmony's really focused on getting these books where they need to be so that kids have access to them. And we publish books that have characters across the entire rainbow spectrum. So it's a pretty, pretty cool project. And then we do all kinds of wonderful things. I really love getting to do that too. My background, my degree is in illustration. So it's fun to get to do that as well as my fine art painting.
I'm so impressed. Well, I think the thing that I really like about your art here, Paul, is the fact that you aren't really pigeonholed into, okay, Paul paints bowls of fruit, or Paul paints mountains, or Paul paints, you know, whatever. Your style and technique on, you know, let's say, you know, the Cheesecake Boys, you know, you have that type of, you know, artwork that you do. And then you go into, you know, your war paint series, and that has a completely a different emotional pull on it. And, you know, you have, you know, and I'm looking at these and just completely blown away, you know, and the pictures, you know they're oils, or you know they're a drawing, you know they're something like that, but they just come to life. You can see these people, and you can see the stories in either their eyes or their expressions. You know, you've got one on the war paint series with, you know, this lady with purple hair, and, you know, she has the fingers just going across her face, and that just tells
such a story.
Is that Linda? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Linda, why aren't you calling in tonight? Oh, my goodness. But, you know, all of those are just so expressive.
Painting.
So what do, and I'm, and if I'm putting you on the spot, please forgive me, you say, you know, just talk to me offline, but what does a typical Paul Richmond go for? Is it like $1.5 million, $3 million, $10 million?
Oh, God, I wish. No, the price depends on the size primarily.
Okay.
So I don't even know off the top of my head to tell you the truth, but if you go to the website and click on any of them, it'll take you to where you can, the ones that are still available. Here, I'll tell you. Here's one that is 36 inches by 48, and the price is $4,500. So very reasonable.
Very reasonable for fine art. You know, and I've just found the Groweth Pains picture that Paul was talking about and just a little bit ago. And that is kind of funny. I have to admit that.
I have enjoyed doing some pieces throughout the years that have been a little bit on the, you know, side of provoking people, which has been good. I mean, it helped me to make a statement about the cause or an issue that I was passionate about, and it also got people talking. I did a painting, the one that you're referring to, it's Jesus spanking Kirk Cameron, and it was all inspired by these clips and things I was seeing of him saying all this anti-gay crap. And I remembered having such a crush on him when I was a kid that I just felt betrayed. So I wanted to, you know, and I also thought, like, here's somebody who is saying Jesus says this and God wants this and blah, blah, blah. And I just thought, you know, if I was God, this might kind of piss me off. I would maybe want to teach him a lesson for doing this. So yeah, I just painted Jesus putting him over his knee and giving him a spanking.
I love it.
So I've done some other paintings like that too. If you scroll even further down, I did one called Noah's Gay Wedding Cruise, which was back before. And that one really caused a stir. I had the Westboro Baptist Church after me when that one came out. I painted all the kind of Republicans who were really opposed to marriage equality drowning in the waters. And then the Noah's Ark was filled with gay animal couples and human couples, celebrities like Ellen DeGeneres and her wife. Bert and Ernie were in one of the windows. So it was very whimsical and silly, but it was just to express my hope that, you know, one day we would triumph over this. And we did. So
yeah,
it worked out.
Now, I will tell you, I have so many favorites, Paul. It's not fair that you paint so many, because you should say, oh, I liked the one, you know, but the rest of them, oh my gosh, just throw them away. And
yeah,
from a satirical, the rest of them don't suck. That's the problem. The rest of them are really good, but they each have their own, you know, unique spin. I think the one that I get the biggest kick out of is Batmobama and Robiden.
Yes, that was a fun one. I did that one for a show in L.A. at the World of Wonder Gallery. They were doing it was right before the election, the first election that Obama put into office, and it was a political themed show, and that idea just came to me. And at first, it was just going to be, I painted Obama as Batman and Biden as Robin. And then I thought, well, we could add the villains in, too. And so McCain made a perfect penguin, and then Sarah Palin is the little Catwoman down in the corner. And that image just completely went viral online, and it actually helped a lot of people, you know, discover my work, and people who still follow me today and have followed me into the more serious stuff that I do. So it's always kind of fun to do something a little bit silly and to get people's attention and then to, you know, follow up with some more serious stuff.
Well, I think just stylistically, though, you have such a broad range of things that you excel in that it's a pleasure to be able to go to, you know, the paulrichmondstudio.com website and just take a look the depth of brilliant work that you have here. I could gush on and on and on, but, you know, we wouldn't
well,
let you talk about anything else.
thank you. I love a challenge. I love being able to, you know, try something different, and I usually don't shy away from those things. And in fact, I wanted to just tell you about one fun experience that I had this year. It was just a few months ago, actually. A friend of mine that I went to college with called me out of the blue, and she does production design. Her name's Kristen Adams for a lot of films and TV shows and things. She's very talented, and she was working on this film with James Franco. And they wanted a painting of him that was pretty big. I forget the exact measurements of it, but a pretty large-scale painting of him as his character in this film, which he looked totally different than normal. He had these crazy tattoos and stuff. And she said, you know, I thought of you right away because, you know, you paint a lot of, like, sexy men and stuff. And she said, also, I don't know of too many people that would be willing to take on this project knowing that you're only going to have 1 week to do it because we need to start filming the scene a week from now. And so I, of course, said, sure, I'll do it, no problem. And then I went back into my college mode of not sleeping for a week and cranked out this painting of James Franco and got to drive it to the set and meet him. And actually, my friend Aaron, helped me take the painting. We got to be in extras in the scene they were filming
nice.
That night with James and Courtney Love. It was pretty, pretty fun. But I love adventures, so that was another fun one. But you can see the James Franco painting on my website, and I actually did. He liked it so much that he commissioned me to do another piece that they ended up incorporating into the movie as well. So I got to go back to the set a couple of weeks. I had 2 weeks.
Very
to do that
cool.
One. It was like a luxury.
Oh my gosh! Hey, Paul, I want to ask you one more question. I see on your website some T-shirts and tank tops
yeah.
with
yeah,
stuff
sure.
that have your pictures and paintings on them. I
yeah.
think this is brilliant. How did you come up with
Thank
this
you.
Idea, and how do what do people need to do to buy this stuff? You call it your swag.
Yes, I do. It's Paul. You can go to paulrichmondswag.com, and I've just taken each month I do a new one. Now, all the others remain available, but I add a new one to the collection, and it's the war paint pieces right now. I might branch out into some of the other stuff later, but they fill the whole shirt, which I love. It's not just like a little rectangle in the front. It's actually front and back of the shirt is covered with art. And, I love making my art accessible to people. There are a lot of people who will buy original paintings, which is wonderful, and I have some great collectors that do that. But I also sell prints for people who couldn't necessarily afford to buy an original painting, but they still want to have the art. And I just thought shirts would be another awesome way to, let people have their favorite piece and interact with it in a different way, and the colors come out great, and they look awesome. So there's been a really great response to that. It's been fun to, and people send me photos wearing the shirts and everything. I did one of actor Jesse Archer. He's one of the war paint models. So we made that into a shirt, and he just sent me a photo of himself wearing it, hanging out
that
with a bunch of drag
cool.
queens somewhere. It was pretty awesome. So
well,
I love seeing my art travel around.
And so, again, everybody, if you want to take a look at that, it's paulrichmondswag.com. And, from a price
mm-hmm.
standpoint, you're at $36 to $68, just depending upon if you want, like, a tank top or a long-sleeve shirt, that type of thing. And, you just got to, you get what you're paying for here, folks. And that's really a cool, still, it's a piece of art, but, you get to wear it around town. So
mm-hmm.
Go check out Paul Richmond Swag there. We got about 2 minutes left here, Paul. What else should we plug tonight? Can you tell us about your war paint appearances coming up this next year? Again, and then anything else you want to talk about real quick?
Sure, absolutely. So War Paint Show is opening at the Evansville Museum. March 3rd is the reception from 6 to 8 p.m. Everyone's welcome. If you want to head on over to Indiana and come see me, that would be great. If not, you can always check out the work online. My website, as you said, is paulrichmondstudio.com. And I also sell a lot of my paintings and prints and things online. You can links to it from that website, but the direct link to my store section is paulrichmondstore.com. I sell prints in 3 different sizes and also the original paintings. And I'll also be selling some work at the Rossetti Gallery in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, too. That's a new development. But,
nice.
Just this past few weeks we started to work out, so there'll be some pieces available down there as well.
Okay, I got 2 more questions, but first, here's question number 1. Do you sleep?
Okay. Yeah, I do, kind of. I basically
okay.
just go, and then crash.
fair enough. And then words of wisdom that you might want to give out to anybody who's listening, and I know we've talked about bullying, so I'm going to say go listen to the first half of the show, everybody, if you want to hear about that. But this would be, any words of wisdom that you might have for budding artists or creative types or anybody, maybe people who are like stuck in their dead-end corporate job or whatever, something that you can
mm-hmm.
tell them about inspiring them to change their life.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll give you the advice Linda gave me right before I started in art school. She said that, you are going to be tasked to do a lot of things there that you might not normally choose to do on your own. It might feel creatively stifling. A lot of kids drop out of art school because they don't feel like they get to express themselves. There's so many rules and things that you're and techniques that you're being taught. And she said, whenever you're given an assignment, don't just do it to do it. You have to push yourself, even though you may be exhausted, and you might be on your third night in a row of not sleeping to get all this work done, but find a way to put yourself into it and take it a step beyond just what's required. You know, meet their requirements, but also make it something that you can be proud of. And I followed her advice, and I still do. I don't create something that I'm not invested in, and that has really made a big difference for me. Even though I was, you know, tired sometimes, I was always excited and proud of what I was doing, and I still am.
There we go. It's been Mr. Paul Richmond, everybody, on the Friday Night Dance Party. That's tomorrow night. The Friday Night Dance Party is tomorrow night with Scott Roth and Western Electric. We'll be talking to them. But for tonight, go to Paul Richmond Gallery. I just closed the window. What's your website? One more time, Paul Richmond. PaulRichmondStudio.com. Go buy some artworks. Help support this fantastic individual. And don't drive distracted, everybody. We'll see you live on Friday. Take care. Thanks, Paul.
You've been listening to
Rated
G Radio.